So we're holding on good days and days by the Mishnah at the bottom. Mishnah says, the famous Mishnah we quoted in the Haggadah, Maskir Nitzias Mitzrayim Valelos, we are supposed to mention Nitzias Mitzrayim by night, meaning that we have to say the parasha of Tzitzis, even though Tzitzis in and of themselves, the mitzvah does not apply at night, because it only applies during the day, or Issa Moisa, and then you can see the Tzitzis, but nevertheless, we have to say that parasha at night because it mentions Nitzias Mitzrayim, which otherwise the first two parashas of Shema don't. Amr of Elazar ben Azariah, and Elazar ben Azariah says in that connection, Hare ani kiven shivim shana, here I am like 70 years old, as we know the famous story, it's later on in the fourth parak, that he wasn't actually 70, but his hair turned white. V'loi v'chisi shita omri yitzias mitzrayim v'leilis, I was not able to be zoicha that yitzias mitzrayim should be said by night. What does that mean? Some of the Mephoreshim explain that it means that everybody knew that you do mention Yitzias Mitzrayim Valelis. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, I was never able to prove a source for that. So maybe they were saying, maybe people were thinking maybe it's the Rabbanon, maybe whatever, but a different explanation is that there was an actual argument on the subject that there was an opinion you shouldn't have to say Yitzias Mitzrayim Valelis, where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying that you should, but he couldn't prove a source for it. So it either means, it means that I couldn't win the argument to say that Yitzias Mitzrayim should be said by night, or it means I couldn't find a proof that this that we say, Yitzias Mitzrayim Valelos, has a source in Torah. Adshe Drosha Ben Zoma, yeah, that's the point. I would be saying that even though you would think I'm distinguished Talmud Chacham so much that Hashem made a nest for me that I now look distinguished in order to match the new position that I have as Nasi. Nevertheless, there was this one thing I couldn't figure out. Adshe Drosha Ben Zoma, until Ben Zoma gave a Drosha and explained the source for it. Shenema, in fact, at the end of Sukkah, there's a Mishnah and a Brice over there that lists a whole bunch of things. There were certain Talmud Chachamim that exemplified a certain midah or a certain ability in Torah or whatever, and when they passed away, then that was gone. And it mentions over there that Ben Zoma, the Mishames Ben Zoma, Batu Adashonim, like he was the expert in Jerusha. Okay, so Shenema, the Pasuk says, Man Tizker, Tzim Tzkomeim, Ne'ez Tzim, Kir Yumei Fayach. Well, the Pasuk says, in order that you should remember the day that you left Mitzrayim, all the days of your life, so what's the all? Yumei Chayach means Hayam. The word Yumei Chayach by itself means just the daytime. Kir Yumei Chayach HaLeil, that's when it adds all the days of your life, that comes to include that you also have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim by night. B'chalim say that no, what the Pasuk means is Yumei Chayach HaHoylem Azeh. The word Yumei Chayach means in this world, before Mashiach comes, kol yimei chayecha, lahavi limosa Mashiach. And then the kol includes yimosa Mashiach. So in other words, one way of understanding what the Chachamim are saying is they do in fact disagree that you should have to say it by night. They're still arguing this, that you say it by night is maybe only dirabanan, because the Pasuk is basically telling you only that you were going to continue mentioning limosa Mashiach. The other way of understanding it is that they were saying that we agree you have to say it by night, but for that you don't need a separate pasuk. For that, it's obvious that you say it by night as well. For one thing, because we learned before that actually the Geula did begin in the evening. We learned earlier in the parak that the Geula from the time did begin at night. It was announced that it's going right, but the parak came in the middle of the night, etc. So therefore, according to that way of understanding, there's no reason to have, we don't need an extra ribui in the pasuk that you say it by night, because the Geula itself started happening by night. So therefore, it must be that the ribui in the pasuk is telling us that you continue saying it limosa Mashiach.
And if that's the case, why would Chachamim imply that had not it been for that, you would not say limosa Mashiach?
Tanya, we learn in the Gemara. We learn in a Braisa. Om Alehem Ben Zoma L'Chachamim. So Ben Zoma says to the Chachamim, what do you mean that we continue saying, that we continue mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim, Limosa Mashiach, V'chivas Pirin Yitzias Mitzrayim, Limosa Mashiach? Are we in fact going to continue mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes?
The question
is just that. V'halo Kvar Ne'emar, doesn't it say in a pasuk in Yumi, Hine Yamin Boim Ne'um Hashem, behold, Hashem says, days are coming when Mashiach comes. V'lo Yomru Oed Chai Hashem Ashahela V'Sinei Yisrael Me'ez Mitzrayim. People are no longer going to say, I swear as Hashem lives, Hashem who took Bnei Yisrael out of the land of Mitzrayim, Nitiim, rather the next pasuk is rather what people will be swearing is Chai Hashem, by the life of, as Hashem lives, Asher Helav Asher Hevi, they brought up and that he that they brought up and that he brought as Zera Beis Yisrael, the Jewish people, Me'eref Safoina, from the northern land, meaning Babel, or Mikol Ha'arotes Asher Yidachtim Shom, from all the lands where I sent them off to. So in other words, Limos HaMashiach, the pasuk we're talking about, that the Yitzias Yitzrayim is not really going to be mentioned anymore. People are going to focus on the fact that Hashem took us out of the last Golus. On Ruloi, the Chacham said, that's not what the pasuk means. Loi Shekeoki Yitzias Yitzrayim and Koyma doesn't mean that Yitzias Yitzrayim is going to be uprooted. It doesn't mean we're going to stop mentioning Yitzias Yitzrayim. We're going to stop mentioning Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Yitzias Chamias Yitzrayim, for example. Elo Shetei Shibud Malchis Iker Yitzias Yitzrayim Tofer Loi. Rather, what it is the fact that we were redeemed from Shibud Malchis, and particularly Marshal says that means the last Malchus, to which we're still subservient, Malchus Edom, that's going to be the main thing. Yitzias Yitzrayim Tofer Loi. Yitzias Yitzrayim will be secondary to that. So not that we won't mention it at all, but it'll be overshadowed by the fact that we were taken out of Golos Edom. So therefore, this still will be mentioned, though. It still is something in our history that's going to be mentioned and that's going to be focused on, although not as much as the liberation from Golos Edom, and therefore the Chachamim are saying therefore. We can say that the pasuk, the kol in the pasuk, is in fact including Yemos HaMashiach. Not like you, Ben Zoma, want to say that that it doesn't include Yemos HaMashiach, that it only includes the night times nowadays.
Is that the best reason for coming to give?
That's the reason why they're saying. Therefore, they're doing this.
And
that's the point, in other words, but Ben Zoma is arguing that we won't, based on the pasuk in Yemos. The Chum are telling them they're not. Similarly, we have a similar kind of thing where you have a pasuk says that something won't be done anymore, something else will be done. Hashem tells Yaakov, your name will no longer be called Yaakov. Rather, your name will be Yisrael. And what does that mean? Loisha Yaakov Yaakov in Kaim, right? Doesn't mean that the name Yaakov is uprooted. We find that Yaakov is called Yaakov later on, as the Gemara itself is going to talk about later on the Amud. Eli Yisrael Ikav Yaakov Topoloi. Rather, what it means is, Hashem is saying, from now on, your main name is Yisrael, and your secondary name is Yaakov. So the same way, in other words, when the pasuk is saying that we won't mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, but we'll mention that Hashem took us out of the later Golos, that means, doesn't mean like you, Ben Zoma, want to say it means we're going to ignore Yitzias Mitzrayim altogether. It just means it'll be in second place.
I mean, how can anything be in second place?
Well, that's the point. In other words, Yitzias Mitzrayim will be in second place compared to the Gola Asidah. V'chein hu'omer, and the Chacham continue. Similarly, you have a pasuk in Yeshaya that expresses the same idea. Al tizkiru b'shoinos, the pasuk says, don't mention the earlier things, the kadmonius al tizbonanu, and don't sink into the primordial things, the earlier things. B'shoinos means the first ones, kadmonius means the earlier ones. So what does that mean? Al tizkiru b'shoinos, the shiv malchus. When it says al tizkiru b'shoinos, that refers to when Mashiach comes, we're not going to be mentioning the subjugation that we were to other kingdoms. And here, other kingdoms doesn't mean Malchus Yoimi, doesn't mean Malchus Eden, because we just said that's going to be the main thing. It means the other one. It means the ones that we had in between, Babel and Modai and then in Yavon. The Kadmonius, Altis Bonono, is Zuyusit Mitzrayim. And when the pasuk continues, don't think into the earlier things that were for Yitzias Mitzrayim. So again, we see the pasuk is not saying that it's going to be forgotten. It's just you're not going to be mentioning it and thinking of it, but it's still going to be there. It's still going to be something it's something in the background. It's part of our history. The next pasuk continues. Actually, it's the same pasuk. Hinini oisa chadasha ata pitzmach. Behold, Hashem says, I'm going to make a new thing. Now it's going to grow. So what does that refer to? Turn it a bit. That refers to the war of Gog and Magog, which is going to be a totally new thing. As we said the other day, we can't even understand how is it, especially if it was predicted long in advance, how is it that a nation is going to have the chutzpah to go and rise up against Hashem and think they can actually win?
We've been redeemed.
No, not, well, so it's actually, Mohammed's Gog and Magog, it talks about, I mean, the Rambam writes, we don't know the exact seder of how things are going to happen, But there are various midrashim that seem to imply that what it is you have the beginning stages of the Gola, including you have Mashiach ben Yosef. He gets killed in the war of Gog and Magog, and then comes Mashiach ben David, and finishes the process of Gaula and takes us out of Gaulus.
So during
the process, in other words, right? Okay, so the point is, in other words, the Chacham are saying, so you see from that pasuk also that the pasuk that it's not saying we're not going to mention the Yetzias Mitzrayim anymore, which just means that it's going to be pushed into second place compared to the Gaula from Adam. Tony W. Yosef, Marshall Amar Davidomer. What is an analogy we can say about this? Where you have we had Gaulus from previous Gaulusin, but we're saying that we're going to those are going to be the secondary, and then the primary thing is going to be the Gaula from Gaulus Adam. La Adam Shei Mahalach LaDerech. It's like a person was walking on the road. Or Pogabay Zeev, a wolf met up with him. The Nitzami Menu, and then he was saved from the wolf. And from then on, he's talking about how he was saved from this wolf. Pogabai Ariv in Nitzom Amenu. Later on, he met up with a lion and he was saved from it. And he was mentioning, from then on, he was talking about what happened with the lion. Pogabai Nochosh in Nitzom Amenu. Then he met up with a snake and he was saved from the snake. Shochach Maisa Shneim. Now he forgot what happened with both of them. And he's only talking about the snake. Af Kach Yisrael, the same way, say the Chachamim, the same way, it's going to be with the Jewish people, Soros Achronis Meshachas Esther Rishonis. The later troubles make us forget the earlier ones. Because, in other words, there's been so many that we tend to focus on the last one. Marshall points out over here, actually, so okay, the various animals over here, of course, represent the various Golasin. It doesn't say after the wolf that he forgot about the wolf and is only talking about the lion. Marshall says, because after all, between Golas Mitzrayim and Golas Babel, relatively speaking, was not that long. I mean, truly it was several hundred years. But the point is, when Golas Babel happened, then Golas Mitzrayim was still very much in the forefront of their consciousness. So they didn't forget about it altogether. Later on, after we have Golas Babel and Golas Mordor Poros and so forth, then each one tends to make us forget the previous one. Like we don't talk that much, for example, about the previous Golas, and we focus more on the Geula, on the most recent Geula.
But that's because it's 2,000 years
ago. Well, 3,000 years ago. Fine. The point is, the Chachamim are saying, you see from that, therefore, that's the point. In other words, in the metaphor, we're not actually saying that he forgot Maisa Zev, which represents the Tzias Mitzrayim. We're only saying he forgot Maisa Nachash, which represents one of the Golosin in the middle. So in other words, what the Chachamim are saying is that when Mashiach comes, the primary focus is going to be the Geula that we have at that time. The secondary focus is the Tzias Mitzrayim, and all the other ones are going to be pushed even further into the background.
The order in which the Gemara cites the iron, and the snake, and Achash, seems to be reversed. It should be the other way around.
Why?
Because the snake is less dangerous than a lion.
Well, that's
dangerous.
Well,
it's not like a lion.
Depends what kind of snake, right? Depends what kind of snake.
You can run away from a snake. Snake.
You can run away from a lion also. Depends on the terrain or whatever.
You cannot.
Okay, I don't know. It depends on the terrain, I guess. With that said, though, you're right. Actually, on the side over here, it mentions that the Tosfos and Avodah Zarah that gives a different girsa of the order of the animals. Over there, Tosfos instead has a lion, and then Tosfos over there has a lion and then a bear. Okay, maybe Tosfos is gonna say the bear instead of a snake. I don't know.
I was thinking that in a way the order seems appropriate if you consider tribal gods, like Mitzrayim was cruel.
So Marshall says that actually. He says specifically, Marshall says specifically the lion represents Babel. We actually find in Sukkim that Babel is specifically compared to a lion. Because the lion was the king of beasts, and the Hamasa is their kingdom was exceeded in scope in the later ones. But Marshall says it here actually that where is it? He says it here. Mitzrayim is like a wolf, and Babel was like a lion. By Babel, it actually says all the Aryam is subhoy, and then what do you call it? Golos Adon is comparing to a snake.
Because we have more freedom. But
it's more insidious.
But it's more insidious.
Could be. Yeah. He doesn't elaborate why. It's very possible the censors, but very possible he said why, and the censors took it out on us. All right, since we mentioned Yaakov's change of name, so the Gemara goes on to talk about another change of name that we find in the Torah. The Pasuk says, Avram hu Avraham. It's a Pasuk in Divrei Yom. He was Avram, and then he was Avraham. So why the name change? V'tchila nasa av la'Avram. Originally, Avraham was just the father of Aram, which is the country that he lived in. All of a sudden, nasa av l'chala olam kuloi. Later on, he became a father of the entire world, av ha'moyim goyim, and therefore his name got changed to Avraham, with A. The hay represents Hamon. I mean, it has other symbolisms also, but it represents this idea that before he's just Avram, Ab-Aram, now he's Avraham, he's Ab-Hamon going. Rashi, on the Pasuk, explains that once the Reish was part of his name, it finally taken out, that's there, yeah. No. Well, it is also, there are another reason for it, is because it's one of the letters of Hashem's name, sure, but... Similarly, Sarai, he Sarah, this is an apostate, but we know that first his wife was called Sarai, and then she was called Sarah. Same idea. But Tachila Nasa Sarai La'umasa. Sarai means my princess. So first she was a princess to her nation, later on she became princess and the ruler of the entire world. Tony Bar Kapara, so in this connection, Bar Kapara teaches, Kol HaKoda LaAvraham, Avram over Be'eseh. A person who calls Avraham, Avram, after that, is violating a mitzvah saseh in the Torah. Shenema V'hoyashim Avraham. The Pasuk says that your name should be Avraham. So if a person calls him Avram, then he's violating that.
So we should say the same about Yaakov and Yisrael.
Hold on, that's the thing I was going to ask that. Rebbe Eliezer over Balav. Rebbe Eliezer is actually over on Alav. Shenema, because it says in the Pesukim, V'loyi Kore Odeshim Avram, earlier in that same Pasuk. So in fact, they're not necessarily arguing. They're both saying different aspects of it. Mind you, it's an interesting point, actually, that the earlier poskim don't bring this lahalacha. It's not brought in the Rambam. It's not brought in Shulchan Aruch, for example. So there are mechoshim who want to say that, okay, what the Gemara is saying over here, maybe not everybody agrees with that. Maybe the other opinion is that it is similar to Yaakov and Yisrael, that you're still allowed to use the old name. The Magen Avraham actually brings it there. Because they could say that the Pasuk is saying that your name is going to be Avraham in the same way as Yaakov's name is going to be Yisrael. I mean, you're not allowed to use it. You'll keep it right. I mean, Marsha explained the reason of a reason why there would be the difference is because when Avraham's name was changed, even more so than when Sarah's name was changed, then it means, in other words, that now he has a new destiny. Before, he wasn't able to have children who are going to be the ancestors of the Jewish people. He only had Yishmael. Well, he had Yishmael, but not ones that are going to be on the level to be the ancestor of the Jewish people, whereas now he could, and therefore, like, it completely supplants the old name. As opposed to Sarah, it's not like she had children before that either. Okay, anyway. So the question is, are you going to say the same thing, a person called Sarah Sarai? So what's the difference? Why are you allowed to call her Sarai, but you're not allowed to call him Avram? The answer is, because over there, what does it say in the Pasuk? Hashem says to Avraham, Sarai Ishtecha, your wife Sarai, Loi Sikra Shema Sarai, don't call her name Sarah, Ki Sarah Shema, because her name is Sarah, implying, in other words, that it doesn't say Veloi Yikore Oy, it doesn't say that nobody will call her name Sarai anymore, it says you should call her Sarah. So implying, in other words, that other people are allowed to use the name Sarai still.
It's interesting because the hay was also...
It's also introduced from Hashem's name. Right. We have the same thing, the Yud was complaining. Okay. So the question is, Yaakov, Hakinami. You can say the same thing then with a person called Yaakov. After all, there the Pasuk does say, Lo Yikori Oid Shimcha Oid Yaakov. Your name will no longer be called Yaakov. This is Shani Hosam Behodra Hadre Kra. The difference is that in that case, the Pasuk itself actually restores it. Later on, you find that the name Yaakov is still being used by Hashem himself. It says Hashem said to Yisrael in a night vision, Vayomer Yaakov. So we see that even Hashem is still using the name Yaakov. So in the case of Yaakov, it didn't mean to replace the original name, just to augment it with a new name, a new dimension of what he's all about. As opposed to with Avraham, you never find again that Hashem calls him Avram, therefore that so therefore, and since it says valoyukoreoid, then that means that it means that's completely replaced. It's completely replaced, it's completely uprooted, and you no longer call him Avram. Reb Nissen Goin over here on the interesting side points out on the side points out an interesting point over here. Why was Yitzchak's name never changed? And why not? If Abraham's name was changed and Yaakov's name was changed, why shouldn't Yitzchak? And the reason is because Hashem himself called Yitzchak by that name. The Pasuk says in Parshas Lech that Hashem tells Abraham, you're going to have a son and you're going to name him Yitzchak. So as opposed to Abraham and Yaakov were named that respectively by their parents, so therefore Hashem could feel free to change their to change their names. There's also an interesting explanation, I think, from Rabbeinu Bachaye. He says we find in Parshas Toldos that Yitzchak, when he redug the wells that the Plishtim had stopped up, and he gave them the same names as Avraham did. So he was very careful to keep the same names. In the course of that, he was able to keep his own name also and not get it changed. Okay, anyway. Masiv Rav Yosi Ba'oven, V'itame Rav Yosi Ba'zvida. So Rav Yosi Ba'oven, or some say Rav Yosi Ba'zvida, says, I have a contradiction. What do you mean that you can never again use the name Avraham? We say every day in Davening, the Pasuk in Nechemiah. After who Hashem alakim, Hashem b'charta ba'Avraham, you Hashem chose Avraham, and then brought him out of Ur Kasdim, etc. Amalei, so the answer is, whoever it is, says to Rav Yosi Ba'oven, or Rav Yosi Ba'zvida, Hasam Navi hu dekum esadu l'shvachay d'rachmana, because there is not the Navi is not calling Avraham by that name, like to say that's his name. The Navi is explaining, is listing the praises of Hashem, my Da'avim Ikra, how it was originally, that while his name was still Avraham, you Hashem already chose him and renamed him Avraham.
That's why
we're there. We're using the name Avraham, but in that context, you're allowed to use it, but not to actually from then on call him Avraham. Avraham Alach Mehem said. Continuing on the dinim of Kriyishma, the Mishnah says, "Hoya Koda b'Torah v'Yigiyas Manam Mikra." If a person is reading the Torah and he happens to be at the part of Kriyishma and it comes time to say Shema, so is he yotze saying Shema with the words that he's saying, which are the words of Shema? Im kivin libyotze, if he has kavana, then he is yotze. Now we'll see the question is what kind of kavana we're going to see in the Gemara. What kind of kavana we're talking about? Continues the Mishnah, b'prokim, during the breaks, during the sections, between the sections of Shema, for example, between the paragraph of Shema and the paragraph of Hoyev Shemaya, those are considered called ben prokim, shoyom of nach kovod, you're allowed to greet somebody, you're allowed to ask after how they're doing, for example, because of kovod, meaning somebody who's important, somebody that you have to respect, where part of the respect is that you initiate the greeting to them, then you're allowed to do that bein aprokim umeshiv, and you're allowed to answer to somebody of that caliber who said hello to you. Over emsa, actually, the Gemara is going to ask why it needs to say that. If you can even initiate it, of course you can respond. So we'll see at the bottom of your Gemara on the day. Over emsa, and in the middle of a paragraph, showing now you know umeshiv, you can only ask after somebody's help if it's because of fear. And reply to him. What does it mean, fear? So Rashi explains if we're talking about the kind of person that person has to be afraid of, that he might kill him if he doesn't greet him. A number of Rishonim argue on that, and they say in that case, what's the chiddush? Obviously, it's not one of the Yehori Bal Yavers, so of course you would have to. So therefore, so they explain, the Rashba and others explain, Nebuchadnei Yira means somebody for whom you have to have Yira. For example, your parents, or for example, Rabbi Muhak, or whatever, where the feeling you have for them goes beyond just covered. Covered is, for example, what you'd have, let's say, for a regular Talmud Chacham, and Yira is what you have, let's say, for your Rebbe. So they explain that they explain it along those lines. Okay. Divrei Reb Meir, so that's what Reb Meir says. Covered in between paragraphs and Yira in the middle of the paragraph.
Is that a
farm? What does Tillim have to do with it? We're talking about Shema.
I understand.
We're talking about Shema.
But when you read Tillim...
When you read Tillim, you're reading Tillim.
In the middle of a pasuk,
I don't know. If you haven't said Hashem's name yet in the pasuk, then definitely you can interrupt and then start over the pasuk. If you said Hashem's name, then I'm not sure you're supposed to interrupt.
Okay.
Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda, the emsa shoyim of nea yiro meshiv nea kavod, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, in the middle of a paragraph, you can initiate a greeting because of Yira, like the mayor says, but to return the greeting, that you can do even if it's only the lower level of covering. So not like the mayor who equates the initiating the greeting and the response, but rather the response is on the response you're allowed to do even with the actual greeting you wouldn't. Or the parakim and continues Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes between the paragraphs shown with now covered, you can greet somebody where you owe him covered, or meshiv shalom l'chol adam. And as far as responding, you can respond to anybody. Elohim Benach, because we actually had in the Gemara before, and we had that if a person greets somebody and he doesn't respond and he doesn't greet him back, then he's called a gazlan. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying that's reason enough. Yeah. Okay. Elohim Benach Krokim. What are considered Benach Krokim? What are considered the between the sections, between the paragraphs? Then bracha rishon l'shnia. First of all, between the first bracha and the second, so between Yotza Ma'oros and Abbas Olam is one of the Krokim. Then Shnia l'Shma, and between the second one, Abrocha Ba'am Yisrael Ba'ava and Shma, then Shma l'Vahoyim Shemaya, the next one is between the end of the paragraph of Shma, including Ba'avta, and Vahoyim Shemaya, which means, in other words, by the way, that between Shma and Baruch Shem, and between Baruch Shem and Ba'avta is not considered the end of a parah. It's still the middle of a parah.
Between
the Pasuk Shema and Baruch Shem, or between Baruch Shem and Ve'ahavta, is not the end of the Perek. The end of the Perek would be at the end of Ochsav Tamal Mezuzah Pesach
O'Visharacha.
After O'Visharacha, then you have more leeway, as you say. These Dinim are more Negea. I mean, nowadays we don't have so much people that we have Yira or covered for that we have to greet. But these Dinim are very relevant for what kind of interruptions can you make during Shema to say various brachos, or to answer to various brachos or whatever. So you have, and then we'll talk about it as we go through, but you have a lot of different details, and it depends on the bracha, and depends on a number of different factors when you're allowed to interrupt and when you're not.
So from Shema to...
From Shema to Lovisharecha. From Shema to Lovisharecha is all one parent.
And before that, from Baruch Hu to Shema.
So that's what we're saying. So you have from, and between Baruch Hu and Yotza, we're not even talking. That's not either, you haven't even started the Baruch Hu to Shema yet. So you could have asked this, yeah. From when you started the Baruch Hu to Shema, so the first Baruch Hu, where you start out Yotza or Baruch Hu, so from there until Yotza Ma'oros is all one Baruch Hu. That's all one pair.
So you can interrupt between Baruch Hu and Yotza.
I guess, again, the kind of interruptions we're talking about over here to answer things and damning or whatever. Ben Shema l'Vahoyim Shemaya, Ben Vahoyim Shemaya l'Vayomer, and between Vahoyim Shemaya and Vayomer, and Ben Vayomer l'Emes V'yatsiv. And the last one is after you finish, Ani Hashem l'Kechem, before you start Emes V'yatsiv. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Ben Vayomer l'Emes V'yatsiv l'Yatsiv. You shouldn't be interrupting between Vayomer and Emes V'yatsiv, as we'll see in the Gemara eventually why that is. So, what does it mean that you shouldn't interrupt? So, it means, in other words, that Rambam explains, it has the same din as other Emsah Perek. This kind of things you're allowed to interrupt for in the middle of the Emsah Perek, you would be allowed between Ani Hashem Elokeichem and Emes. But other quotes can disagree with that. Okay. Practically speaking, when you say the words fast enough nowadays that you just, you say Emes and then, yeah. Okay. Then you're definitely in the middle of a Perek, so. Amr of Yeshua ben Tocha, Lama Kodma Parashas Shema L'Vahoyim Shemaya. Why does the Parasha of Shema come before Vahoyim Shemaya? Now, granted, it is earlier in the Torah, but after all, Vayomer is earlier than both of them, because it's so much by Midbar, and we don't say it first. And the question is also, Marsha explains that given that Vahoyim Shemaya is phrased in the plural, Im Shemaya Tishmu, El Mitzvah Yisrael, and the fact of the Parasha Shem, etc., then logically that one should come first. The reason is, the reason is because first he should accept them on himself the yoke of Hashem's kingship. Then he accepts the yoke of the mitzvahs. Because in Vahoyim Shemaya it talks about keeping all my mitzvahs. So that presupposes that you've already accepted Hashem's kingship. So therefore Shema comes first. Then this is Rabbi Yehoshua ben Tocha saying nobody disagrees with him. By the way, in Tanya, in Perek Mamalas, the Alter Rebbe talks about that even a person has Ava of Hashem, nevertheless, he still has to have Yira of Hashem as well. The fundamental thing is a person has to be serving Hashem like a servant serves his master or his king. So Yireh in a certain sense is more important, and therefore we have to have Shema first. Only after Shema, which is Yireh, then you have the Ahavta. Then Vahoyim Shemayel Vayomer. Then why does Vahoyim Shemayel come before Vayomer? So Vahoyim Shemayel knows Bein Vayomer and Vayomer because the Vahoyim Shemayel apply both by day and by night, because in particular it talks about learning Torah, and that's a mitzvah both by day and by night. Vayomer, I didn't know you got a Vayomer is talking about a mitzvah of Tzitzis, which flies only by day. So fine, we said that you say it by night because it mentions just the time, but so the fact is, the mitzvah that it talks about, the mitzvah of Tzitzis, applies only by night, therefore it comes by. It's kind of like Todor Rishen and Todor, I guess, but not really. The question was that given that Vayomer is earlier in the Torah, but that's the answer, is because the mitzvah, that's not really Todor Rishen and Todor, I don't think. It's more that the Talmud Torah applies all the time, but your Tzitzis only applies by day. So it starts off with Gemara. We said in the Mishnah that the case where the person was reading from the Torah and he came to a paragraph of Shema and it happened to be the time for Shema and was saying, Im kibin libe yotze, if he has kavana, then he's yotze. So the question is, Shema min a mitzvah tzrichas kavana? Are you saying from that when a person does an action of a mitzvah, he actually has to have in mind to have kavana, he has to actually have kavana in mind that he is fulfilling that mitzvah? The problem with that is that we have a few places in Shas where there is a discussion on that subject, and there is in fact an opinion around a rabbah who says that actually you don't need kavana. Even if, as long as the person did the action in the mitzvah, then he's yotze even without kavana to be yotze the mitzvah.
We bring this on here.
Because the Mishnah said, im kivin libe yotze. So why is if the Mishnah says im kivin libe yotze, that seems to imply only if he had in mind while he's saying these words that he's actually yotze the mitzvah of Krishna, only then is he yotze, but if not, then not. Whereas according to Rabbi in Rosh Hashanah, he shouldn't need that. As long as he's actually saying the words, that should be enough. The answer is not necessarily, because you could say my im kivin libe likros, because im kivin libe could mean if he has kavana to say to actually read the words. Likros v'al kafari, he is reading. What more kavana does he need than that? The answer is b'kodeh lahagia. True, but what if he's reading from the Sefer Torah in order to correct it? So he's not reading
Shema.
So he's reading the paragraph of Shema, but he's not really intending to read at all. Rashi explains that he's going over a Sefer Torah, checking for mistakes. Okay, going over a Sefer Torah, or I suppose the same thing with Tillin or whatever, checking for mistakes. And therefore, when he's reading it, even though he's saying the words, he's not really saying it for the sake of reading. He's saying it for the sake of correcting the words.
Do you have to?
One second. Tosfos explains differently. Tosfos says, and what's the difference? Reading is reading. Tosfos says, no, but Korah Lagia means something else. You have words in the Torah that are mole, and you have words that are chaser. Yeah, let's say, for example, you have the word l'tay tofos twice. You have once in Shema and once in Vahoyim Shemaya. So you have, let's say, that the first time in the parasha of Shema, when it says l'tay tofos, it says without either of the vavs. It's lamed test pesach. On the other hand, the second time in Vahoyim Shemaya, you have a vav between the two tests. So when a person is koyel l'hagia, he doesn't just want to read the word l'taytofos, because then he's not going to catch whether it's spelled correctly. So he might read it in order of the koyel l'hagia, he might be reading it without the correct nekudas. He might, for example, get in the habit of when he's koyel l'hagia, he's going to read v'hoyu l'tat pas, let's say. And that way, if he sees in front of him, hey, wait a minute, what's this vav doing over here? You know, there's no vav in tat pas, then he's going to realize there's a mistake. So therefore, Tosfos says, what the Gemara is saying is that im kivim libay doesn't mean, therefore, that he has kavana even to read. That says actually read the words. It says actually read the words of Shema. It just means he has kavana in the sense that that right now he's reading the normal way. He's reading with tzitzis instead of with tachshavos. So therefore, then he could be yotze. In other words, so it could be that that's what the Mishnah means. So we can't necessarily prove from the Mishnah whether it means to have kavana to actually be yotze the mitzvah.
The Mishnah says libay.
He's hard.
We're just talking about that. Reading correctly, why would it say libay?
Because, in other words, he has in mind. So again, it means so that's the thing. The Gemara thought it meant he has kavana to actually be yotze the mitzvah. We're saying no, he has kavana to actually be reading for the sake of reading, as Rashi says, or to read it with the correct nekudas, or according to the correct nekudas, as Tosfos says. What is the actual halacha on that? So you have a machlokas Rishonim what the halacha is, whether mitzvah is kavana. everybody agrees that it doesn't mean that you need kavana in the sense, I mean, we often talk about kavana, you know, a person has deeper ideas in mind or whatever. That for sure a person doesn't need in order to be yotze the mitzvah minimum. The question is, though, does he need kavana to be yotze the mitzvah, and without that he's not yotze, or is it the other way around? Only if he's doing it specifically not to be yotze the mitzvah, then he's not yotze, but otherwise, min hastam he is. Some halachas are poskim, which one? The halacha is, the halacha in the end is, that when it comes to things that are bonon, we definitely say mitzvah and shichas kavana, and therefore you can be yotze even if you had no kavana to be yotze at all. When it comes to dinim d'oraisa, you have a machlokas, and therefore, if possible, that, for example, over here with Shema, so let him say it over again with, let him say it over again, not to say the brachas over again, because that would be a bracha levatola, but to say Shema itself over again.
How can you imply that receiving Ur not the Shema could be done without kavana? I mean, how can someone imply?
Well, the fact of the matter is, maybe, but the fact of the matter is, it is the Torah doesn't explicitly say, when it says to say Shema, it doesn't explicitly say Kabbalah Tzol Ma'as Shemaim. All it says is that you have to say these words. So therefore, you have the possibility. So it summarizes. Yesh Omrim, that mitzvah ain tzrichas kavana. Yesh Omrim, that you need at least kavana to be yotze with doing that mitzvah. And that's the halacha. So therefore, if you said Shema Yisrael without any kavanah to the yotze of the mitzvah, then you would have to say Shema over again.
So that's why even on young people who say,
what does that have to do with anything? I mean, you're not saying Shema at Me'ilah in order to be yotze of the mitzvah. It's not the time for Shema. Okay. All right. And on Yom Kippur, Mistama, you have Kavanah to be Yotze the Mitzvah. Right. Turn another. On Yom Kippur, Mistama, you have Kavanah to be Yotze the Mitzvah.
You have or you need?
You probably have. Turn another one. We learn in a Brisa. Kriyishma Kipsava Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that you have to say Kriyishma in the exact language that was given. So only in Lashon Kodesh. The Chum say that you can say Kriyishma in any language. So the question is, my time is with Rebbe. Why does Rebbe say that's the Lashon Kodesh? Because he says, Amakra Vahoyu, because the pasuk is Vahoyu and Var Me'ila. Vahoyu means Bahava Yosin. They have to be in the original state. So they're given the Torah in Lashon Kodesh, therefore, yeah. But Rabbanon, my time, I was. So why do the Rabbanon hold that it can be any language? Because they say Amakra Shema, because the pasuk is Shema, which means, the word Shema means listen, but it means hear, but it also means to understand. You find in many places in Tanakh where the Shoda Shema means to understand something.
And therefore, if you don't understand
not if you don't understand in Hebrew, but therefore, if a person can be yotze in any language that he understands. No, if he doesn't understand it in Hebrew, that's still saying he can be yotze, because the fact is, it was given in Hebrew. So it means, but it means it also comes to include that you can say it in any language that you understand. So the question is, will Rebbe Nami Hoksib Shema? Okay, what about according to Rebbe, it says Shema, what is he doing with that? The answer is Hahomri Boyle, he says that you need the word Shema for a different purpose. Hashmea la'oznecha ma'ashata mosi mipicha. You have to make your ears hear what you're saying with your lips. In other words, you can't just mouth the words. Bir Rabbanan, where do the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, Savri lohu commander haloi shmea la'oznecha. They hold, according to the opinion we're going to have later on in the Fedek, who says that even if the person didn't hear the words that he said, he still yotze.
But he cannot say it in his mind.
No, of course not. You have to actually say it with his lips.
But
nevertheless, according to the Chum, if he didn't hear it, he still yotze. Whereas Rebbe disagrees. Okay. Ul Rabbanan nami hoksib b'hoyu. Okay, what about according to the Rabbanan, what are they doing with the word b'hoyu? The answer is, ha'humim b'yilohu shalo yikul l'masreya. They use that word b'hoyu to mean that you can't say Shema out of order.
What's the question about?
The question is, if Rebbe is using the word Bahoyu to say it has to be specifically in Lashon Kodesh, then what are the Chachamim doing with that? And the answer is the Chachamim are saying that you can't be Koda L'mafreya. L'mafreya, Rashi explains that it means to actually say the words out of order. For example, Rashi gives an example. Let's say a person were to say, Ubisharecha Beisdecha Mezuzes, which is the Mezuzes Beisdecha Ubisharecha, but out of order.
But we said previously, in other words, Havayasan. The way it says.
The word Havayasan. Rebbe had said Havayasan means the same language, but Chacham say just means the same order, but it could mean a different language. Now, it does mean, for example, according to Chachamim, if you're, let's say, saying Shema in English, you can't say Yisrael here, because that would be out of order. Shema Yisrael, but you have, but yeah. Okay. There are other mafarshim who explain that. I think Rashi himself explains later in the paragraph that amachreya doesn't mean so much the words out of order as psukim out of order. He says each pasuk in its original form, but he says them out of order.
Okay.
That right. The Rebbe, Shalayukra Machir Lamanova. Okay, where does the Rebbe learn math that they can't say Shema out of order? He says, Nafkalimi Dvorim Hadvorim. He says, because the Pasuk could have said, Vahoyu Dvorim Ha'eva, and instead it says, Vahoyu Hadvorim Ha'eva. So therefore he says, Vahoyu is teaching us about the language, and Hadvorim is teaching us about the order. The Rabbanon, where is the Rabbanon? What answer? Dvorim Hadvorim, like Darshi. They don't darshan anything from that. It's just Dibur Torah Kolosh Me'odim. It's normal for the Pasuk to use an extra hey without it being any meant for a drasha, and therefore we can't learn anything from that, and therefore we need Bahayu to tell us about the order, whereas Rebbe is using Bahayu for the language.
Okay.
So the question is, Lememra de Sava Rebbe, should we say, based on this machloikas, since Rebbe has to say that the Pasuk is telling us an explicit thing that you can't say Shema in a different language, does that mean that generally Rebbe holds the Chalatara Kula B'Chalosh Nemra? Does that mean that Rebbe generally holds that the whole Torah is given in any language? What does that mean, in other words, given in any language? Rashi explains that you would be allowed ordinarily to read the Torah in any language, in the Yotzeh, the mitzvah of reading. Tosfos says, what are you talking about? The whole concept of a regular weekly Kriyas HaTorah was made up by Ezra, it was a Takana of Ezra. The Torah is 1,000 years before Ezra. What was the word Behayu being used for until then? So Tosfos says that, Rashi could be talking about, or the Gemara could be talking about, there are certain things that you have a chiyuv d'oraisa to read. For example, Parsha Zohar. So the question would be, the question would be, given that over here Rebbe is saying you have to have a specific miut in the pasuk that you can't say Shema in English, does that imply that other things in the Torah where you have a mitzvah, a d'oraisa to read, for example, Parsha Zohar, you could read in English in the Yotzeh? Also, Tosfos says it may not be talking about reading the Torah at all. It may be talking about psukim that you have a mitzvah to say. For example, when a person comes bikurim, he says the psukim arami ovid avi when he finishes giving out all his meister from the last couple of years, he says vidri meister viarti akodesh min abayis. Those are the kind of parshas chalitza. So those kinds of things, you could argue. Apparently, it sounds like Rebbe is saying ordinarily those things you could say in any language. And there'd be reason for it, Tosfos says, because after all, when Hashem gave the Torah, it divided into 70 languages. The voice divided into 70 languages. But only over here, Rebbe is saying there's a miut. In other words, because if Rebbe didn't hold a bath, then he would say, you don't need a miut over here. You can never, anything that Torah says, you have to say from Torah, it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. The Isaf Adat of Lashon HaKodesh Nemra, if you were going to say that the Torah can only be said and you can only be Yotze saying it and reading it in Lashon Kodesh, V'hoyu because of Rahman Olamali, then why would you need a word V'hoyu? Anyway, the rule would be that you could only say Torah in Lashon Kodesh.
V'hoyu doesn't negate the fact.
V'hoyu means it has to be in Lashon Kodesh, Rebbe is saying. So the implication is that ordinarily, when the Torah tells you to say certain words or read certain words of Torah, you can be Yotze no matter what language it's in, and only by Shema is there a mute. The answer is no, not necessarily. Itzrich, you could say that Rebbe would say, the fact is you do need a miut over here. Rebbe might hold that in general, Torah is only meant to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, and you can't be Yotze, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, or the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, or whatever, as Tosfos is saying, in any other language, but Mishum Bichtiv Shema. The fact is it says Shema, and the Chachamim said that we learn from Shema that it means you can say it in any language you understand. So therefore, Rebbe would say, therefore here the Torah has to tell us V'hoyu to negate that possible explanation, that possible understanding of the word Shema. But ordinarily, Rebbe would say, you don't need a miut at all because everywhere you could say it. Rebbe says everywhere in the Torah, when it says to say something, then it means in Lashon Kodesh specifically.
So what about all these people that are in English?
That davening is different. We're not talking about
Shema.
Well, hold on. This is according to Rebbe. Okay, the question is, remember to Savir Rabbanon Nechal Torah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh Mamra. So does it mean that the Chachamim hold the other way around, that in general, when you're reading something from Torah, it must be a Lashon Kodesh, and if you don't, you're not Yotze? D'Isaf Dat Nechal Lashon Mamra, because if they were going to say that the rule applies across the board, you can always say it B'Chal Lashon, Shema B'Kos of Rahman Olamali, then why would you need the Pasuk Shema? The implication is that only Shema can be said in other languages, but not everything else. The answer is no, it's just Mishum Dakti Bahayu. They would say the other way around, because it says the word Bahayu, and Rebbe is saying, after all, the word Bahayu could mean only in Lashon Chodesh. Therefore, to negate that, you need the word Shema. Therefore, in other words, usually you don't need, because usually it's obvious you can say Bahal Lashon, since as Tosfos says, Hashem's voice divided into 70 languages. But so only over here, because it says Bahayu, then you need to negate that possible understanding of Bahayu with the word Shema.
By extension, every time we say Bahayu, does that mean it has to be said in Russian Kurdish for other things?
Generally, when it says in the Torah Bahayu or Bahayu or whatever, it means it has to be as it is, not necessarily Russian Kurdish, but it means, in other words, whatever the Torah is saying, that the, whatever the Torah is saying has to be done, it has to be done exactly that way. Yeah.
Such as, for instance?
Yeah, Bakobonis, for example, I think, yeah. I don't remember all things. But okay. The Halacha is like a Chachamim, so you can say Shema in other languages. The Rambam writes that if you're going to do that, now we're going to learn later on in our parak, that you have to be careful when you're saying Shema to pronounce the words properly and not to slur words together, for example. So the Rambam writes you would have to do the same thing if you're saying Shema in other languages. You would also have to make sure to say it precisely. The Rambam over there disagrees with that. He says, you know, who says your translation is all that accurate anyway? So therefore, the Rambam apparently says you don't have to worry about it. Apparently, according to the Rambam, you don't have to worry about it. Now, the question is, so you have a problem that you have words in Shema that you would have a bit of difficulty figuring out how to translate. So you always have that issue. But so obviously, if you can say it in Lashon Kodesh, then that's better. Yeah. To answer your question, I mean, I suppose, you know, when people start out as Bala Tshuva, of necessity, they say it in English because they don't know Hebrew yet, but they learn it as soon as possible in order to be Yotzeh B'Holavet.
It says Shema, you mentioned previously, that means understanding.
Yeah.
Does that mean that when you said in Hebrew, you have to understand the meaning?
No, because we said over here, we discussed whether mitzvah tuchas kavana. We're going to talk about later on, we're going to talk about kavana in the first pasuk, and there it means kavana of the word. So yeah, you have to at least have a basic understanding of the meaning of the word, yeah. But we're going to say, and we're going to see soon, and we're going to see soon how far into Shema that din applies.
Okay.
But yeah. But before we were talking about kavana, as far as being yod to the mitzvah, and we said it's a machlokas in the Gemara, and a machlokas at poskim, whether that's even necessary. Okay. Turn it on. Vahoyu, we learn in a braisa that when it says Vahoyu, means shalo yukul amasreya, it means that you shouldn't read, that you shouldn't say Shema out of order, as we said. Hadvarim al levavecha, then the pasuk continues that these words should be on your heart. So on your heart means tav kavana. Yochote kol ha-parsha tzricha kavana. You would think, therefore, that the entire parsha, until the bisharecha, you have to have kavana, meaning the meaning of the words. Here, kavana doesn't mean, like we said before, kavana being yod to the mitzvah. Here we're talking about kavana of the meaning of the words. Talmud Loima Ha'ela. Therefore, the pasuk says Ha'ela. These words, which means Ad Kan Tzricha Kavana Mikan Va'elach En Tzricha Kavana, means only up to this point do you need Kavana, but after that you don't need Kavana. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So what does it mean? So some of the Rishonim say that it actually means until the words Al Levavecha. So according to them, it would be the first pasuk of Shema Baruch Shem, and then the first two pesukim of Yahavta. And that would be up until where it goes. Tosfos over here says no. What it means is only until b'chol ma'odecha, Tosfos says, which means only Shema, Baruch Shem, and the pasuk v'ahavta. Because those psukim talk about the oneness of Hashem and loving Hashem and fearing Hashem. And then there are Rishonim who say it's not even that. It means only Shema and Baruch Shem. That's the accepted halacha, so it means, therefore, the person does not have to have, we're going to see later on in the Gemara, we have an opinion that it applies only to the first pasuk, so only, yeah.
Okay.
So it goes, yeah. Well, one second. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that only up to this point you need kavanah. Rabbi Akiva, Harehu Omer, let's consider. The pasuk says, Asher Anoshim Esav Chayim Al Levavecha. The pasuk says, which I commend you today on your heart. Mitzavcha, Tosfos points out, implies not just that I've commanded you in the past, but I'm commanding you in the future. So from there you learn that the entire parsha needs kavanah. Alavavecha implies that, Asher Anoshim Mitzavcha Yom, which I'm going to yet command you, need to be alavavecha. So that means Sufim following that also. So therefore, So from this, says Rabbi Akiva, you seem to be learning that the whole parsha requires kavana
until the
Bisharacha. Amar Rabbi Baba Chana, Amar Bichan, Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So far that would mean you have to have. So far you would have to. It means that you would have to have kavana from Shema or from Bisharacha. but Yisrael Demasnilaha. Then there are those who refer what Rabbi Babachana is saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan to a different statement. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, HaKoreh Shema Tzorech Shavinus Libra. A person says Shema, he has to have Kavana. He has to have Kavana. And again, we don't mean just Kavana to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, that we were talking about before, whether you need to or not. We're talking about Kavana in the words. Rav Acha Mishrim of Yehuda Omer, Kivin Shekivin Libra, Perek Rishon. Once he had Kavana in the first Perek, which is the parasha of Shema, Shuvein Tzorech, then he doesn't need it anymore. And on that, Omer Rav Babachana, Omer Bechana, Halacha Kirab Acha, Sha'omer Mishrim of Yehuda. The halacha is like Rav Acha in the name of Rav Yehuda, so you would have to have Kavana throughout the whole first Perek.
Not like this opinion.
Well, it sounds like it's the same as the first version. It doesn't sound like there's a substantive difference between them. One difference is that in the first version, we're saying that Rabbi Eliezer is saying you need until Allah Bavacha, and Rabbi Akiva is saying the whole rest of the parasha, Tzricha Kavana, requires Kavana. In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, you should be having Kavana during the whole Shema, all three paragraphs, but only during the first one do you have to have. Whereas according to the second, and only b'dieved, according to the second version, according to Rav Acha, you're saying that after the Perek Rishon, Shuvein Tzorech, you don't need any more, which would mean, in other words, that even L'chatchila, you don't need Kavana on the meaning in V'hayoyim, Shemayim, and Vayim.
So, L'chatchila, all three, b'dieved.
So the first one would be L'chatchila, all three, and b'dieved up to B'sharecha. The second one would be only up until B'sharecha, and beyond that, you don't even need. But we're going to see, we're not done the discussion yet, so we're going to continue, and then eventually we're going to get to what the actual halacha is. Okay. Tanya Ida. We learn in another braisa. Pasuk says Vahoyu means again Shalayushka Lamafreya. The word Vahoyu, as we said, means that you can't say Shema out of order. Alavavecha, and what does it mean, Alavavecha? Rab Zutra Omer, like we said before, Adkan Mitzvah Kavana, a little different than we said before. Adkan Mitzvah Kavana, up until this point, you have the mitzvah of Kavana, Mikan Ve'elach, mitzvah Kriya, from there on, says Rab Zutra, you have a mitzvah to say the words. Rab Yoshi says the other way around, Adkan Mitzvah Kriya, up till Allah Bavecha, you have the mitzvah to say the words, Mikan Ve'elach, mitzvah Kavana. From then on, you have the mitzvah of Kavana. So what does that mean? Let's talk about the first opinion, Rav Zutra, seems to be saying, it sounds like he's saying, until Allah Bavecha, you don't have to actually say the words, you just have to have Kavana, you just have to think of the meaning of the words. So what do you mean? My Shna Mikan Ve'elach Mitzvah Kriya, why is it different? Why are you saying after Allah Bavecha, then you don't need, only there do you need to start saying the words, Dichtiv L'dabar Bam, because the Pasuk says, V'dibarta Bam, and L'dabar Bam, meaning that you should speak it, Hochanami Haksiv V'dibarta Bam. So in the first paragraph, it also says V'dibarta Bam. So why are we saying that part of the first paragraph, you don't need to say at all? The answer is Hochakama, you're right. Rav Zutra does not mean you don't need to say any part of the first paragraph. He means Adkan Mitzvah Kavana Ukriya. What he means is that up until Allah Bavecha, you have the mitzvah to have Kavana and to actually read the words. Mikan Ve'elach, Kriya B'loi Kavana, but after that you can read the words from V'shinantam L'vanecha, you could read the words without having Kavana. It's similar to what we said before from Rabbi Yezer, that you have to have Kavana until Allah Bavecha. Right, well, okay, it's more lenient relative to saying the whole paragraph, right? Okay. Then we said we had the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia, who said the other way around, who said that up until there was Mitzvah Kriya, and from then on is Mitzvah Kavana. So the question is, the question still is on Rav Zutra. The question still is, Umayishna Adkan Mitzvah Kavana Kriya. So okay, why are you saying that in the first paragraph, or part of the first paragraph, you need the mitzvah of Kavana and Kriya? The reason must be, because it says, so it should be in your heart, so you have to think of the meaning, and also the Dibarjabam, that you should be saying the word. In that case, why only the first paragraph? Hosam Nami in the second paragraph also. The second paragraph also says, you should have it in your heart, and you should speak of them. So why are you telling me that only in the first paragraph you need Kavana, and in the second paragraph you don't? The answer is Mazutra would say that those words in V'hayoyim Shemaya are teaching us Rabbi Yitzchak's din. The Amar, where Rabbi Yitzchak says, that when the pasuk says you should place these words on my heart, on your heart, means tzricha shetei sima keneged alei. Means when you put on tefillin, which contain these words, they have to be on the part of your arm that's opposite your heart. So you put them on there. You put them on your bicep, and that way it's opposite on your biceps, and that way it's next to your heart. But not that we learn from that. That you actually have to have, because Rashi points out, because the Alavav from over there is not talking about saying. It's not like in the first paragraph when it says, and it doesn't say anything about placing. It says, "V'hoyu advar ma'ela," that these words of mine should be Alavavach, so therefore it can refer to the words that you're saying. In the second paragraph, the Alavav comes in connection with the Samtan of Dvar Ha'ela. You should place these words, Alavav, so therefore it can be talking about placing the tefillin. The placing of the tefillin, and therefore, so we learn that we don't learn anything about kavana from that. So that would be the difference. Okay.
So one time
it means to have kavana, and the second time it means to place tefillin by your heart. Okay. That's Mar Zutra. That's Rav Zutra's opinion. Okay. Omar, then we said in the Brayse, so we have the other opinion. Rav Yoshi Omar Ad Kan Mitzvah Kriya. Rav Yoshi had said that until Alav Avecha, you have the mitzvah to say the words. Mikan Ve'elach Mitzvah Kavana. After that, you have the mitzvah to have kavana. Which apparently the Gemara is assuming that apparently Rav Yoshi means that after Alav Avecha you don't have to actually say the words, you can just think about them. So again, the question is, like we had on Rav Zitra, Maishna Mikan Ve'elach Mitzvah Kavana. So what's the difference that you're saying that afterwards you're allowed to just have Kavana, Mishum Dechiv Alav Avchem, Hochanami Hoksiv Alav Avecha. In the first paragraph it also says Alav Avecha. So it should mean that the whole first paragraph you could only meditate. And we know it's not so. We know the first paragraph you have to say. The answer is Hachakama. You're right. Rabbi Yoshe doesn't mean that the part that you don't have to say. Ad kan mitzvah kriya v'kavana. He says that until Alav Avecha, you have to that until Alav Avecha, you have the mitzvah of saying it and of saying it and having kavana. Mikan ve'elach kavana v'lo kriya. But he holds that the rest of it, the rest of the parashiyos, if you don't say them, you just think them, then that would be good enough.
So that's not the
halacha. Okay. Wait. So the question is, Umayishna ad kan mitzvah kriya v'kavana yichtiv alav avecha v'dibar jabam. Okay, so you could still ask that. In the first paragraph, it says, on your heart, you should speak. So you have to both have it in mind and you have to speak it. Hosam nam yichtiv alav avecha v'dibar jabam. And in the second paragraph, it says the same thing. The answer is, ahu b'divay torah k'tiv. In the second paragraph, in V'hoyim Shemaya, when it says that these words should be alav avecha v'dibar jabam, it's talking about teaching torah. As we see, the pasuk mentions over there, for the madam oisimus b'nechem l'daber bom. So it's not talking about saying Shema, it's talking about saying the words of Torah when you're teaching them. V'hoch kamer nachmana, so it means the Rabbi Yoshi is saying, the Torah is telling us, agmiru b'naichu Torah, means teach your children Torah, p'heched l'igrasugahu, this way they will be familiar with it, shinantam l'vanecha, the madam oisimus b'nechem, so that they will be familiar, so they'll be thoroughly familiar with the words of words of Torah, and be able to be repeating them all the time. But nothing having to do with saying or not with nothing having to do with saying or not saying the words of Shema. So that's that then. So you have those are the different opinions about how what parts of Shema you have to have kavana in and what parts you don't. Yeah, you do have to say all the paragraphs. Although we'll see soon that maybe we'll see soon that Minat Torah you don't have to say all of it. So we'll get to that soon. Okay, turn it up on. We learned in a Brai, so we still left open the question how far you have to have Kavana. So far we had Rabbi Eliezer saying until Alav Avecha, Rabbi Akiva saying the whole first parasha. We have Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Zutra and Rabbi Yoshia arguing about how far into the first paragraph you have to have Kavana. But we learn in another Brayse, when the Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Ad Kan Tzricha Kavanas Halev, only up to that point do you need Kavana of the heart to have in mind the meaning of the words. Divrei Rav Meir. To be Yotzei the Mitzvah that we discussed before, whether you need or not. Here we're talking about Kavana in the words. Amar Rava, Halacha Ker Rav Meir. So Rava says, Halacha is like Rav Meir. And Tosfos says, that in fact is Halacha, because Rava is later than all the other Amiroyim we mentioned over here in Halacha Kabbasir. So the halacha is that you only have to have kavana on the words by Shema and also Baruch Shem, but not more than that, not the whole first paragraph. Obviously, ideally you should have kavana in all three paragraphs. So not like Rabbi Akiva, right? And not like Rabbi Eliezer either. Right. Okay. Tanya, we're living in a bright. Sumchosana. Sumcho says, speaking of Shema and how you should say Shema, call a marich be'echad, the person who extends the word echad, marich in lo yama v'shnoitav, Hashem extends his days and his years. Extending the echad means, obviously, it means, as the Gemara is going to say, it means taking longer over saying it in order to have in mind, but it also, of course, means beruchni, which means that the person is drawing down the echad of Hashem into the world. And the Maimar, there are Maimar Chassidus that explain it in that day. Amr of Achaba Yaakov over Dalid. Specifically, what you should be extending is the Dalid. Now, what is it? Meaning, now Rashi says, why not in the Ches? Because until you say the Dalid, you haven't finished the word, so there's no sense in extending it because you're not gaining anything by that. The Dalid is the end of the word. You should be extending it to have in mind, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, that Hashem is one in the heavens and the earth and in the Dalid in the four directions. Now, what is it? So now, when you get down to it, a dalad, the way we pronounce it, there's a limit how much you can extend it. If you extend it too much, then it sounds like it has a shva under it. So that you could say, but then it sounds like it has a dogish or a shva. So the Alter Rebbe, in fact, says in Shulchan Aruch, that's not what it means. Now, with that said, there are Kehillahs, for example, the Yemenites, pronounce a dalad rafa as zvun. So they're literally able to extend it without that being an issue. They're literally, they would say echad, right? So yeah, so they would literally be able to extend it. But the Ashkenazic poskim, down to and including the Alter Rebbe, say that's not what it means because you can't extend it without it sounding like it has a dogish or a shiva in it. So they say that the extension means mentally that after you say the word echad, as you're saying the dalad of echad, take a couple of seconds after it to think that Hashem is king over the four, that Hashem rules over the four directions.
Yeah, but what's the extending?
So that's what it means. To extend it means to have to extend that thought.
To have that long kavana, right.
With that, it does also say in Shulchan Aruch, you should extend the ches slightly. Rashi is saying there's no sense in extending the ches because you haven't finished the word yet, but still, based on what the Gemara is saying over here, the post can say you should extend it slightly in order to have in mind ches is 8, so it represents that Hashem is king, that Hashem rules over the heavens and over the seven heavens and the earth. So therefore, so in short, you say echa, right, so saying echa wouldn't accomplish much, but you say echa, and then you have in mind, you have a short thing in mind during the ches, that it means the seven heavens on the earth, and a longer thing by the Dalad, that it means that Hashem is over the four directions.
The other Sfardim,
I guess they're the same way, Anna. Okay. They also, I guess the same way. I mean, they say a ches gutturally, but they say a Dalad, pretty much the same way. Amr of Ashi Ravanchala Yachta for Ches. But Rav Ashi says, on the other hand, it shouldn't mean that you're going to be doing the Dalad long, whether in pronunciation or in meaning, and therefore you're going to rush through the Ches. No, the fact is, the Ches has a comma, so don't pronounce it like it had a chata. Don't pronounce it like it had a shiva or something. Don't do echad. You have to do echad.
Echad.
Right. Yeah, the Ches has to have a clear nekuda. Yeah. Okay. Okay, the Gemara tells Rav Yirmiyah Hava Yosef Kameh de Rav Chiyah Ba'aba. Rav Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rav Chiyah Ba'aba, Chaziyah de Hava Marich Tshuva, and Rav Chiyah Ba'aba saw that Rav Yirmiyah is extending the Dalad very long. Amalei, he says, you don't need it that long. Kivin Dam Lichte, L'mailo, L'mato, L'abba Ruch HaShemayim, once you've mentally made Hashem king over what's above and below and the four directions, Tulei Tzrichas, then you don't need to continue extending it anymore. So again, you extend the ches slightly to have in mind that, seven heavens and one earth. You extend the dalad longer to have in mind the four directions, and then that's it.
How do you extend the dalad?
We just said, you extend, like, I just told you, you pronounce it clearly, and then you extend it mentally afterwards.
Mentally.
Yeah. Mentally, but so that's the point. Also, that stresses. It doesn't mean in pronunciation, because then you would be changing the nekuda of it. Amr of Nassim ba ma'ukva Amr of Yehuda, Allah vecha ba'amida. When the Alav Avecha has to be standing. So what is Alav Avecha? What do you mean only the word Alav Avecha, you stand up? No. Ela ema ad Alav Avecha ba'amida, it means up until Alav Avecha, you should be standing, mikan ve'elech loy, but after that, you don't need to. Rabbi Yechanan, I'm going to call a parasha kula ba'amida. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, the whole parasha has to be set standing. We said earlier on the Amud that he said the halacha is like Rabbi Acha in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to have kavana during the whole first parak. So now, what do we mean by standing over here? What we mean is, Rashi, we're not talking about, in other words, as far as that if a person is sitting, he has to stand up. Because we learned in the previous parak that the Shama and Basilu argued on that, and Basilu says you can say it in a posture. What it means is, Rashi says that we said before that Basilu says, for example, a person could be walking and saying Shema, or doing work while he's saying Shema. However, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that so Rabbi Nosson Bama Ukva is saying up until Allah Vavecha you can't do that. You have to stand still. You have to stop your work and stand still in order to have proper kavana. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, the whole first paragraph. Now, before we talked about kavana, and we said we mentioned before that halacha is like Rava as far as kavana only in the first pasuk. So does that equate to this? So some of the Mephoshim say, no, there's a difference. Kavana, Rava is saying you need only the first positive. But if you're talking about that you were walking or doing work or whatever, then we would still say that you need to stop until Allah Vavecha, so for another two psukim. Stop working.
Right, but when you start stopping at Shema.
That's right, yeah. That's right. On the other hand, many of the posts can say there's no difference. Once we set these opinions over here that you need until Allah Avecha or until the end of the first paragraph, fit with the opinions before about having Kavana up until that point. Since the halacha is like Rava, that Kavana you only need in Shema and Baruch Shem, then the same thing would apply as far as the standing or stopping work or whatever.
You would only have to stop
walking only for Shema and Baruch Shem, but not any further than that. That's how the halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch. We learn in a brayta. The pasuk says, "Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." Zu Kriyishma Shor Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That is the kind of Kriyishma that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would say. He would say only that one pasuk. So, okay. Omalei Rav L'Rabchia. So Rav says to Rabchia, "Loi Chazina Leilu Rebbe Di Makabla Le Malchus Shemayim." I haven't seen Rebbe being Makabla Malchus Shemayim. In other words, on the face of it, Rebbe is starting to teach Torah before it comes time for Shema, before Alos HaShachar, or before Mishayakir. He's still continuing at it for hours until after Zman Krishma. When is Rebbe saying Krishma?
But then
it would be too early. Amalei, so Rebbe answers him, Bar Tachsi, son of great people. A pachas means a ruler or a governor or something. So Bar Tachsi means a you son of great people, because Rav is from a very distinguished family that traced their ancestry to Malchus David. It could be, but it's also Malchus pachas as in a nobleman. Yeah, and in Pesukim, for example, pachas Yehuda and whatever. I mean, it means a governor. No, not Parash, it's a different word. Pachas, face up, means a governor. Okay.
Governor, yeah.
There's a point when Rebbe passes his hands over his face. At that point, Makabal Olav Malchus Shemayim. That's the time when he's saying this pasuk of Shema and accepting on himself the yoke of Hashem's kingship. In other words, he's not taking the time to say the whole three paragraphs, or even the whole first paragraph, but he is taking the time to say just Shema, to say Shema and I guess Baruch Shem as well.
So that would be right.
The point is, in other words, that that's the minimum amount that a person needs in order to be Yotze. Now, this that we're saying, that Rebbe passed his hands over his eyes, one reason, the Mephoshim give two different reasons. One is in order not to be distracted by things that he sees in the room, and this is where we get the minute of putting our hands over our eyes for Shema, for the same reason, so we don't get distracted.
Other people didn't used to do that.
The other reason it says is because when we said before that you have to have in mind that Hashem rules over the seven heavens and the earth and the four directions, so really a person should be moving his eyes in those directions to keep pace with his thoughts. He moves his eyes. No, he thinks and you're also in your eyes. Right, so that's the point, in other words. So according to that, though, the problem is that if Rebbe is doing that in public, he's moving his eyes this way and that, it's going to look ridiculous. So therefore, he would cover his eyes so this way. He can be moving his eyes and having the mental thoughts and everybody else won't think it looks silly. So according to that, that's the reason why Rebbe would cover his eyes.
We don't do that.
So we don't necessarily move our eyes. We don't necessarily do the eye movement. That's right. But we cover our eyes for the other reason, in order not to be distracted. Okay. question is, okay, so we're saying that Rebbe said only the first positive because otherwise he wouldn't have it. Otherwise he wouldn't have the time. He's too busy teaching Torah. The question is, chozer v'gomra or ain't a chozer v'gomra? Later on in the day, would after the Talmudim leave, would Rebbe finish saying the rest of Shema, or would he not? Obviously, we're talking about it's after the Zman. If it's within the Zman, of course he's going to finish it. So Bakapara Omer ain't a chozer v'gomra. Reb Shimon v'Rebbe ain't a chozer v'gomra. So Bakapara says he didn't finish it, and Reb Shimon v'Rebbe says he did. So Bakapara says to Reb Shimon v'Rebbe, I don't understand how you can say that Rebbe would finish Shema. According to me, that I say that your father Rebbe did not actually finish Shema later, if it was anyway after this man. Then that explains why, when Rebbe was teaching, he would always try to make sure to teach about something that involves Yetzias Mitzrayim. That way, he's yotze to the mitzvah of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim in connection with Shema. Since he's not having the time to say Parashat Tzitzis and Emes V'Yatziv, so instead, this makes up for it. El Lidach. But you, Reb Shimon Berebi, are saying that he would actually finish Shema later on, even if it was after the Zman. So why does he have to mention, why does he have to take the trouble to mention something in Torah that speaks about Yetzias Mitzrayim? He's anyway going to be mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim later in the day. The answer is true, but Rebbe still wanted at least, fine, I can't say the rest of Shema Bizmana because he's busy teaching Torah, but nevertheless, he does at least want to mention the Yetzias Mitzrayim in the proper time when Shema should be said. So fine, the rest of Shema he can't be saying because of the onus, because he's busy teaching Torah and he can't interrupt that. But at least he wants to be able to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in the proper time during the first 3 hours of the day, and therefore he makes sure to teach something that involves Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Why he doesn't have the time to say?
Because he's busy teaching the Talmidim. First of all, one possibility is that it's Torosa Yumnos. So Rebbe is one of those people where Torah is his constant occupation. He's not doing anything else. Therefore, so he does have to stop for Shema, but only for the minimum amount of Shema. Only for the minimum amount that he needs to be Yotzer, and that would be the first positive.
So he says
Shema while he says Shema and Baruch, and then that's it. At that point, he was Yotzer on the minimum Daraisa level, and being that he's teaching, Torah Yomnasa, there's a different explanation, which is that it doesn't necessarily apply to a regular person. That Torah Yomnasa, it only applies to the specific case where over here it's involving Talmud Torah Derabbi. It's not just that he himself privately is learning Torah all the time; it's that he's teaching Torah to everybody. So therefore, he can't interrupt that, and therefore, yeah. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow, Rosh Hashanah.